Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken in part from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 6. It reads, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." By way of intro, I just want to start off saying that we have a great and mighty God. Praise God, for none of this is possible without Jesus. We would not be here in this beautiful church to worship God if it wasn't for His Son, Jesus. Acts 4:12 reads, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus took mankind's greatest problem, our sin debt, our sin bondage, and set us free. Because none of us is righteous, no one is perfect, there is none without sin, there is none good enough on their own merit, and there is none who could live up to God's holy commandments. Therefore, none of us could receive access into God's heavenly kingdom, because our sin is what separates us from God. It's our depravity. That's the bad news. But the good news is God gave Himself for us. You see, Jesus came down from His throne and became like us, God in the flesh. And He willingly died for us. He did the unthinkable. He took our wretched sins upon Himself. He took the wrath of God upon Himself that each of us deserve. This is the great exchange. His righteousness for our sinfulness. So, when you see the cross, consider what Jesus did, endured for you and I, so that we can have eternal life with Him. When you see the cross, consider God's love for you and I. Jesus died on that cross. He was buried in a tomb, and He rose on the third day. Jesus conquered death. He resurrected. And by His resurrection, we have hope. We have a trust in Him and His Word. Through Jesus, we can have eternal life. He, by Himself, purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty of on high. Place your faith in the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and you shall be saved the moment you believe in faith. Make God your Lord, God, and Savior. Make Jesus your Lord, God, and Savior. Jesus, you see, not only gave His life for us, but while on earth, He lived completely for us. He came to serve and give an example on how we ought to live. Mark 10:45 reads, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many." Friends, it's our turn to serve Him. As His church, we are the called out ones to seek ways to reveal God among the masses of people that don't have Christ. To seek and save the lost. You see, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing for others. God is meant to be proclaimed outside these four walls. And God wants people of all ages and all races to come to know Him through His Son, Jesus. For there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. So let's read what God has to say through the Apostle Paul about serving and what our reasonable service should be. So I'm going to begin my reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So in this passage, the church is being compared to the human body. And Jesus is the head of the church. The head is the most important part of the body. The head is like the steering wheel for the body. Whatever way you turn the head, the body will follow. And Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, God has given the church a direction, a purpose, a narrow road to follow. And he has given us the tools and guidance to walk with him and to honor him with our lives. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. One central theme that you may pick up on this morning is that we have a giving God. If we can only take a moment to examine our own lives and look at the blessings we have, an attitude of gratitude should flourish from each of us. The greatest giver this world has ever seen is its creator. He gave us himself. He gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead believers. God gives us what is good and what we need. He gave us his word, the Bible. You see, his ways are not our ways. The word of God, it reveals truths that challenge the ways of the evolving thought process of the world we live in. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? No. You see, God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And inclines our hearts to himself, to walk in his ways, to follow Christ. In Ephesians it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. God has blessed us each in such a way where we can bring something to the table. Each of us can bring something. Jesus told a parable about the giving of talents. He gave one man 5 talents, he gave another man 2 talents, and he gave the last man 1 talent, each according to his own ability. You see, God expects us all to cultivate the blessings that we have, regardless of how many they are. I would urge you to develop them, to use them, and to share them. So the first application for the church is be willing to use your gifts for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 through 7 read, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all, who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To God, giving is a privilege and a requirement. See, God has blessed us all with gifts to help and serve others. Not just hoard for ourselves, but to for others. And by doing so, we bring glory to God and point others to Him. Not ourselves, to God. See, the world is our mission field. The harvest is plentiful, but sadly, the laborers are few. So the question is why? We can all come up with reasons not to do what we know is good. Even the great prophet and lawgiver, Moses, had his reasons. But if you love what you believe in, then why not share it? See, self-doubt is probably one of the top reasons for the lack of spiritual work in a church, from the church. Have you ever been in a situation where you know that you have the abilities to do something and didn't follow through? And because of that, you may have get upset with yourselves because now the opportunity is lost. Well, friends, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. We will fall short. We will make mistakes. But we also have a God who gives us many chances. Friends, let me remind you that there is countless opportunities out there to share your God-given talents and your faith. And I would urge you to take advantage of them, especially around family and friends. Because we don't know if the last time that you see them will be a finality. Don't let self-doubt disable you. Friends, stop believing in what you can't do and start believing in what God can do through you. Develop an attitude like the Apostle Paul, who stated, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Despite whatever self-doubt that you may have, whatever is hindering you, God will renew your strength to press on, to keep fighting the good fight. 2 Corinthians 3:5 is, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Ephesians 2:10 reads, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, if we look at the Apostle Paul, whose original name was Saul, his father was a Pharisee, and Paul had the opportunity to train under a highly respected teacher of the law named Gamaliel. So Paul was very educated. He knew the law inside and out. So in this new movement about Jesus being the way of salvation started, Paul became enraged because this movement became dangerous to Judaism. Paul states in Galatians, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So Paul was set in his ways, kind of like many of us today. And it took Jesus revealing himself on a Damascus road to open up his eyes, to break his sense of pride and stubbornness, and realize that Jesus is the way. Paul said, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We're all sinners. Friends, God's grace can be summed up as God's righteousness at Christ's expense, and is bigger than any sin. God used Paul, who was like the worst enemy of the Christians. He hunted them down, he dragged them out of their homes, imprisoned them, and even had them killed. But again, nothing is impossible for God. He changed Paul from the inside. God gave him a heart of compassion for others, a ministry for spreading the gospel throughout many parts of the world. In fact, God inspired Paul to write most of the New Testament found in the Bible. So friends, let God use you and your gifts and talents for his good. James 1:17 reads, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I would urge you to discover what those gifts are, whether they are your natural born gifts, or your learned gifts, or lastly, your spiritual gifts. Use them, and use them for his glory. The second point of application is, give the gift that lasts an eternity. In Ephesians it reads, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So again, everything has a season, including the God-given gifts and talents, blessings that we receive in life. Friends, it's great to give things like your time or money or even a listening ear. But what God commands us to do, what his marching orders are, is to give the best gift, the gospel message, which contains eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 reads, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the God of truth. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is the power of God. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. John wrote in 1 John, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So for those in my hearing without Christ, do you want forgiveness of sins? Receiving Christ will not give you money or big houses or even blessings of good health. But accepting Christ will give you a peace, an assurance that you will one day be in God's heavenly kingdom, not eternal hell, where the sinner without Christ is doomed. Only Jesus can forgive you your sins. Only Jesus, His spotless shed blood, can wash those sins away forever. So I want to leave you with the heart of the gospel message. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, consider what that means to you personally. There are four key points to that text. First, God loves you. Second, God gave His only begotten Son for you. Third, God states to believe in Him. Believe! Charles Spurgeon stated that the general religion of mankind is due, but the religion of a true Christian is done. Jesus already did all the work. Place your faith in Him and His perfect salvific work. Pastor James once stated that religion is man's attempt to get to God, but Christianity is God's attempt to get to man. And the fourth point is, you believe, you will have eternal life, never to be taken away. Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart? Are you ready to surrender your life to Him? There's no better time than now, friends. I ask you to pray the sinner's prayer. Go before the Lord. Admit that you have sinned against God. Seek, ask His forgiveness, and state that you believe in the gospel message, that you have taken it to heart, and ask Him to come into your heart and become your Lord, God, and Savior. And pray that in Jesus' name. Let's all go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the presence, Your presence among us, Father. Thank You for Your redemptive plan. For You are the greatest giver that this world has ever seen. Thank You, Father, for giving Your Son, Jesus, as an atonement for our sins. Thank You for Your Son's work on the cross, paying the price for our sins, eliminating our debt. Thank You, Father, for the forgiveness that You give us and bringing us into Your fold. Thank You for breaking down the wall of separation that stands between us, our sin. Thank You, Father, for Your great gift of eternal life through Your Son, Jesus. Friends, Father, we just thank You for all the blessings You give us. Our friends, our family, all the blessings we have. They all come from You, our talents, our gifts. We thank You, Father, and we ask You to help us become bold and stand out and share them, because all the glory goes to You and only You. I pray, Father, that the seed planted in the hearts of those without you today, they bring fruition to a new spiritual birth, to becoming children of you, children of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.